was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Welcome, my friends. Live from Albany, New York, you're listening to Take No Prisoners. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and thank you for joining me. We're coming to you live from the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat, and we're here before a live, apparently dead audience. Like I said before, a live, dead audience. And it's our pleasure to be here tonight. And my friends, we're sort of down to the deadline. We just went on air about 10 seconds ago. We barely made it. Thank you for joining us. Tonight is Sunday, October 14th. And we appreciate you being here. We'll have an exciting show tonight, folks. We'll review some actual ongoing cases of people who decided to attend the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat and see if we can make head or tail out of the beneficiaries in common payment and presentation and settlement method. For those of you who don't know what beneficiaries in common means, well, neither do I. BIC refers to payment instruments drawn under public policy by living men, which are drawn to the benefit of the Secretary of the Treasury, the United States Treasury, and other selected parties whom we wish to provide benefits on behalf of. In so doing, we actually fund the accounts of the straw parties and the birth certificate fictions and any other accounts that might be to the benefit of our intentions, such as banks and agencies and all the other accounts that we might list on our bonds. And once those bonds are in place with Treasury, we then draw against the bonds, against the instruments, as opposed to drawing against Treasury. We're not from that school that was writing instruments, and some still may be, drawing on a Treasury account, a phantom Treasury account that no one wishes to admit exists. No, we are drawing against instruments we write under the authority of our right hand. We pick up a pen, and we write a note that says, note may be the wrong word, a bond, but we write a note on a bond that says, I will indemnify you with all of my commercial energy to the tune of X amount of dollars. That means I will bring my labor to bear, and I will bring my property to bear, and anything else that's necessary to indemnify your lawful actions on our behalf. That's all a bond is in this circumstance. It's an indemnity bond, an indemnification bond, written by our power as a son or daughter of Jesus of Nazareth. So I'm glad you're joining us. A couple of quick announcements. Those of you who are in dire need of a notary, or those who would like to join our call for a volunteer army of notaries, 1,000 strong, please send a note to
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeylight's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylight, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylight is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylight, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, my friends. Live from Albany, New York, you're listening to Take No Prisoner. Obviously, I could. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to you live from perhaps the third or fourth Law Merchant Leadership Retreat, and very likely the last. And we're wrapping up 2007 with a wonderful crowd of very interesting people, many of them facing all sorts of difficult challenges in their lives, and many of them laying groundwork and helping others in overcoming these kinds of difficulties, foreclosures, credit card collections, family, court issues and divorce issues, tax difficulties, state and federal, federal criminal cases, state criminal cases, and evictions from their homes, unlawful detainer actions. The list is close to endless. Estate issues, which we'll be getting into later. And so what I'd like to do is, after a couple of announcements, just share this time with a number of attendees and see if we can use their cases as examples of how we might enforce the BIC process and also how we might assist them in directing their efforts in methods and strategies that will lead them to a final favorable outcome. So, now with apologies for that interruption. The beauty of the iPod is just skip ahead. Of course, if you lost the connection, you're not able to hear me say that. So, if you're having trouble in your remedies and you need a competent notary, I suggest that you send an email to Notary Depot, D-E-P-O-T, at hush.com, and they should be able to hook you up with any one of a number of notaries. You may, if you've been listening to the program regularly, you may recall that we've put out a call for 1,000 notaries, an army of patriot notaries to act as the core of a strategy designed to ensure that every public official has the opportunity to clear his name of wrongdoing when he steals funds in the special maritime jurisdiction. So that information, if you'd like to volunteer, should be conveyed to Notary Depot as well. And also, I ask you to consider in your individual study groups whether it would make good sense to you personally, to your group,
I'd rather die than be your slave to thee. Don't treat me this way. I'd rather die than be your slave. I will survive. And you feel me. my brothers, they lay dead by me. Hit them hard, we made them pay that day. We hung the traitors from the highest tree. Lost a lot, our pain was heavy. We sacrificed for God and country.
No more calling.
He held the ground that was in front of me. This was the price to pay for liberty. Still you hear me say, I'd rather die.
My apologies, we lost you a second time, and I hope the problem doesn't continue to the program throughout the program. If it does, my apologies in advance, and we'll keep coming back until you're tired of us. September 29th, we discussed the use of notaries and friends in the bankruptcy court to force the bankruptcy trustee to collect on your commercial paper. I know there are many people who are interested in collecting on monetary instruments, negotiable instruments, and commercial liens. That was September 29th. All of the folks in the audience who heard us discuss that, I believe yesterday, would be able to have that reinforced in our discussion on September 29th. In fact, in much greater detail, and with a clear roadmap to that pathway, using 3, 4, 5, or 6 friends to really walk into that bankruptcy court loaded for bear and catching them completely unawares of what's about to happen. Could be a very interesting time. That also includes the concept of suing one's own best friend to achieve a judgment that is then enforceable in bankruptcy court. Remember, folks, we're on Saturdays at 1 p.m. as well as Sunday night at 9 p.m., both Eastern Standard Time. So thank you for joining me. Now, we're going to move to our first guest tonight in the time we have left in this segment. And I'll let him introduce yourself. Your first name is?
Doug.
First name is Doug. And, Doug, have you ever been on the field before?
No.
Repeat, please.
No.
Thank you. Doug, I'll just ask you to wait till the microphone's in front of you to speak. So this is a first. I can see that you're taking it in stride. Doug, do you have an ongoing controversy at the time?
Yeah, middle of a foreclosure. The issue right now is that we've done the five steps of the BIC process, and one set of paperwork went to an attorney, and the other set of paperwork went to the clerk of court. The attorney never heard anything from him. The clerk of court returned hers back, saying that she is just the clerk and that she cannot sign documents. Only the county clerk can. And then 3 days ago, on the 11th of October, no, it's more than that, 11th of October, my wife had got a letter from the attorney saying they're going to be selling the home on the 19th of October. So I've got to find some on the strategies here that's going to stop this sale and proceed on to enforcement.
Very good. Now let me see if I understand correctly. You're in the middle of a foreclosure case, correct?
Correct.
And you say you're in step 5 of BIC.
Correct.
I didn't know there were 5 steps. I'm only familiar with 2. We call them stages. So you're working with some mentors who have expanded upon the technology.
Correct.
What's the name, the first name or the organization name of whom you're working with?
HHF.
And that stands for?
Helping Hands Foundation.
Very good. And that's an organization that has been helpful to a number of people. We'll pick up this discussion after the break. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Probably a few people. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live from the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat in Albany, New York. We have 4 days under our belts. Some belts are a little longer than others, I might add. And we have one more day left, at which time we're going to be entertaining case discussion much like this and integrating enforcement strategies until everybody gets it. Now, we're talking to Doug, who's in the middle of a foreclosure case. So, Doug, let's forget about step one and step two and five stages or two stages and all of that. Just tell me, you've made a presentment of some sort of information to an attorney and to a bank.
Correct. We submitted a promissory note, routed through an offset bond, which is routed through an indemnity bond, which is backed up by a birth certificate bond.
And what supportive documents did you include with the promissory note?
Supportive documents.
Did you include comprehensive administrative remedies, fiduciary instructions, a confession of judgment, anything like that?
Yes, all those were included.
Very good. And what was the face value, everybody sitting down at home, what was the face value of the expansion of the monetary supply which you created with your promissory note?
It was $5 million promissory note.
See that, folks? So you have people like Doug to thank for having such a low rate of taxation. And how many of those notes did you write?
Just two.
Understand, when Doug wrote that promissory note, it was written against an indemnity bond that Doug placed into various accounts by way of the Department of Treasury, by way of the U.S. trustee of the bankruptcy, the U.S. Department of Treasury, Secretary of the Treasury. Excuse me. The promissory note against that instrument, and he's been able to take public policy funds and distribute them to particular fiduciaries named on the instruments. And those fiduciaries included the Secretary of the Treasury and an attorney.
Yeah, an attorney and a clerk of court.
And you wrote to the attorney because?
Well, he represented the bank.
And the case had already been filed into the court.
Correct.
All right. So those people are in possession. Well, the attorney's in possession of the promissory note. And stay right here with me, Doug. And the clerk of court sent the packet back. And repeat the statement that the clerk of court made.
Basically, in a nutshell, she said that she referred to herself as the clerk and that she cannot sign documents.
What documents did you ask her to sign?
The promissory note, sending it to Treasury to have it monetized.
You mean you asked her to endorse the promissory note? Okay, was that on the fiduciary instructions?
Yes, it was. Yes.
All right. I don't recall that on our fiduciary instructions. That's an interesting impediment that may have come along. Certainly, they need to redeposit the funds, and that may require an endorsement. And so the clerk was saying she doesn't have the power to do it. Were there any documents in that packet that she returned which were designed to be filed into the public case?
I haven't looked at the package. She sent back the packet we sent.
Was there a pleading of any sort, a motion of any sort?
There was just some negative averments, and I haven't looked at it in a while.
All right, let's assume there wasn't.
Yeah, okay.
We have an administrative process that we call the uncooperative clerk package. Seems like an appropriate name. And I'm going to see if I can find it here quickly. There it is. The core of which is a verified letter that is sent to the clerk, attached to which would be the documents that have been returned. This is a more effective approach when the documents include at least one document to be filed publicly. I don't know if it's a fiction bond, an affidavit that says, this is an affidavit and I swear to the facts, and the facts are that our other documents are correct. But one document filed into the public allows you, when the clerk en masse returns the entire packet to you, to send her a letter which says, I thought I should contact you as a courtesy with some urgency regarding the recent removal of evidence from case number 12345 to ensure that unnecessary personal and criminal liability are avoided. It is not my intention to impede any of your lawful duties or cause any anxiety or distress. I am herewith returning to you under notary seal for filing into evidence the following documents which bear your mark of acceptance. Did she stamp the documents before she sent them back?
I haven't looked at them yet. I work out of state.
All right, so you don't know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Notary.
All right. I had a fellow when I was in Pakistan start to tell me he worked out of state, and 20 minutes later, we still hadn't found out what his chief complaint was, so my apologies if I jump on those things. I had a fellow one time, I asked him, where does it hurt? And he said, well, Doc, you see, I came out of my house, I hopped in my car, I was driving down Maple Street, I looked up on the porch, and I saw Mabel coming out of her house, she came down the stairs, she got in a blue car, and she drove down the street, made a left on Route 37. I took off after her. We went about half a mile. She got out of the car, and I said, Mr. Jones, you know, what pain are you experiencing? And he looked at me and said, hey, Doc, what's the matter? You late for a round of golf? And he continued his story. So we're driving along Main Street, and we're going here and there, and finally I looked at him and I said, Mr. Jones, did you say that was a blue car? and his mouth hung open long enough for me to say, so where's it hurt? So my apologies if I cut you off. This is radio, and I'm glad no one is wasting time with stupid stories. So this packet continues to say that I'm herewith returning to you under notary seal for filing into evidence the following documents which bear your mark of acceptance. They almost always stamp them at least received, and which have been noted accepted for value. And then we list those documents. Could be some petitions, could be many of the private documents as well, which are not for evidence, but they would be on the list too.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Welcome back, my friends. We're coming to you live from Albany, New York, at the third Law Merchant Leadership Retreat. It's Sunday night, and you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you for joining me. So we're discussing with Doug a foreclosure case. Unfortunately, the deadline is extremely tight, and our ability to interject ourselves into the case appropriately as creditors when it's October 14th, Sunday, and the property supposedly is going to sale on Friday is somewhat more limited than if we had 3 weeks or a month's time or something of that sort. Now, let me ask you this. Doug has already provided to the court, provided to the attorney for the bank, and the clerk of court, presumably a case was filed, a bonded promissory note, and some other documents. And we were reading the uncooperative clerk package, which is an administrative remedy in which the clerk's return of the process for some reason is then sent back to the clerk with an offer that she can't refuse. When we've used this packet, we've never had a single incident where the clerk has then returned the papers a second time. We're offering the clerk an opportunity to clear her name of any suspicion that she is tampering with the evidence by removing evidence from the file. So this letter goes on to say, as a Christian, I would very much prefer to conclude that removing the above-noted answer to a filed objection was an unintentional error rather than serious criminal activity. Now, you would have to modify that, of course, to the particular situation. That removing the bond or removing the affidavit, whatever the document is, was an unintentional error rather than serious criminal activity perpetrated by the very party charged with preventing such activity. This letter is intended to provide you with every opportunity to correct the error and demonstrate good faith by honoring the demand under notary seal to file the said documents into the said evidence file within 72 hours of receipt of this letter. Conversely, it is reasonable to conclude that if you dishonor the said demand, you will be confessing to suspicious activities injurious to the U.S. bankruptcy and serious crimes against mankind, requiring closer examination under penalty of perjury in fulfillment of legal fiction, in my case, Sam Kennedy's misprison of felony and treason obligations. And this letter goes on into some fairly powerful terminology. We've never had a clerk return that process a second time, and that would easily, I would presume, be a solution to the return of process from a clerk for this nebulous reason that the clerk does not have the authority to sign anything. Imagine they go through their 8-hour day and they never sign anything. That's interesting. In which case, why not take a copy of her letter and attach it to a petition for a hearing to show cause as to why the loss or theft of the clerk's seal has not been reported to the police? What happened to your seal, ma'am? There are a lot of ways that one could wake them up, but in 5 days, let's not lose sight of our goal. Our goal isn't to create mischief for the clerk. Our goal is to prevent your house from being sold. Correct?
Correct.
All right, correct. There are a number of pathways that I might follow if I was in such a situation. First of all, I certainly would prepare for the eventuality of the sheriff's sale. And I would do that using standard BIC methodology. In fact, there's a fellow who was sitting in this room, but hopefully will return, who did that recently, who went to a sheriff's sale on his own house and attempted to repurchase the house with a bill of exchange. And the instrument had previously been rejected by the bank. The deputy sheriff accepted the instrument. Took about 10 minutes to figure out how to write a receipt because it was for full value instead of 10% of the value. And then, over the weekend, contacted him to say the bank doesn't know what to do with the instrument, doesn't know how to process it. And after a couple of further conversations, he came up, I believe, in August and attended the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat and returned home and issued a bonded promissory note to the same deputy sheriff. And lo and behold, 3-4 weeks later, he gets a letter from the court, which was a court that had been petitioned by the defendant for a temporary restraining order on the sale of the house. And the judge's decision at the time was that I won't make a ruling on this at this time. because you have your 30-day period of redemption in front of you. In other words, the judge was telling him, go and buy the house back. And so he did, with a bonded promissory note. The bonded promissory note, in his case, was actually served directly on Treasury, and he provided it. Here's what he provided to the sheriff. A photocopy of the indemnity bond and a photocopy of the bonded promissory note. Provided two photocopies. No original signatures to the deputy sheriff. Lo and behold, a month later or so, he receives a response from the sheriff, a copy of the court order, which said, in effect, the sale is ordered, the mortgage is ordered released, all rights subrogate to this party, and the sheriff is ordered to issue a deed. Sounds to me like it was a closed case, at least closed to the degree it can be in the public, to the benefit of this party, and that was done on a bonded promissory note. It wouldn't take you long, Doug, I don't believe, to prepare your materials for repurchase at the sheriff's sale.
Correct.
At such a repurchase, if it was me, I would have at least two notaries with me. And those notaries, if there was any problem at all and prevented the bonded promissory note, if they point to the sign and say, well, we only accept certified funds, well, I would see that the bonded promissory note is a certified bonded promissory note. Certified funds, what it is, ma'am, certified bonded promissory note. Can you imagine the problem that might cause for them? Or you can do like Animal House, double secret certified bonded promissory note. They can work secret liens, you can double certify a promissory note. So I would have a certified bonded promissory note with me. I'll go one better. I would take that certified bonded promissory note and I would register it in the county and take it back out. I would find a county that does instant recordings. St. Lawrence County in New York State does it. You have to travel a while, but you could go there. It's in St. Lawrence County. Go to the clerk of court. I believe her name in that county is Patricia. Go up to the county desk in, what is it, Canton, New York up there? It's making you, Doug, you're getting redder. Let's hope I'm not fully retired from the knowledge of medicine. And I would enter that court, I would enter that clerk's office, and I would say, I need to record a document, please. And ask her, we're heading outside the United States, and you are. The second you leave that office, you're outside the United States. We need it back right away. Can you record it and also return the original and give me a certified copy? And they'll say yes. They'll say, well, this has nothing to do with real estate. Heck, attach something to do with it has to do with real estate. Cover page, anything, or a description of the property. Okay. File it. Or a cover page that says affidavit. They must file an affidavit. Or else there are penalties, and you can talk to anyone here or me and find out what those penalties are. So now we record the bonded promissory note. Put a cover page on it that says bond. Staple the bonded promissory note to the back. Staple a description of the property to the back of that. Record it. Take back the original with a big, fat registration stamp on it. Now you have a registered, certified bonded promissory note filed into the public as good as gold. And you take that to the sheriff's sale. Who's the sheriff in St. Lawrence County?
Jarvis, I believe.
Jarvis, well, that's interesting. That's an interesting name. We won't discuss why on open air, but that's a good omen. And you go to the sheriff's sale and purchase the home back. That's the simplest way. But if they give you a problem, I would arrive. I wouldn't arrive with an attitude of getting myself arrested, but I would arrive with two representatives of the Secretary of State. I'd see if I could find one down here, and I'd say, if there's any problem, you can't accept it. And one of those witnesses would step forward and say, "Hi, Ms. Jones, I'm an agent for the Secretary of State in Albany, and I was sent up here to observe this transaction. Can you identify what the defect is in this instrument or the process? Because we need this transaction to be properly processed." And if they can't come up with a notice of dishonor or a certificate of protest, if it was me, I'd have my notary whip out a subpoena. Under New York Executive Law 135, and reference, which was in one of the documents we read today, which was that in the three-day offer of immunity, with reference to the Ohio law that actually New York law allows for depositions and affidavits. It may allow for subpoena or summons, but if not, you'd reference through the Ohio law. And someone corrected me on that. I think the Ohio law was 147.07, not 47.07. And that allows not only for summonses and subpoenas, it allows a notary in Ohio to issue a subpoena, and it provides a notary with the same authority as a judge to punish those who would fail to give appropriate testimony, who would fail to testify. Massachusetts allows for summonses and subpoenas in very specific laws. So, with notaries by my side, I would be ready to call a notary deposition through the notaries, and the notary would step forward and say, "Well, Ms. Jones, something's peculiar here. Excuse me one second, I'm going to have to issue a subpoena. I want to sign it right now, to bring you in under oath to testify about what you're doing here today." At that point, the deputy sheriff's probably going to get up and say, "Excuse me a minute, let me go talk to the undersheriff." And I would do everything in my power to motivate the return sale of that property and have the sheriff monetize my instrument for me and return the house to me. They know how to do it. Maybe here in St. Lawrence County, but they're going to learn fast enough. You're going to teach them. Another way, excuse me, there are other methodologies that I would think about. For instance, we have 5 days. You already have process in. Have you taken back a certificate of protest? Has a notary issued a certificate of non-performance on the instruments?
He has to the attorney, but we haven't done the one to the clerk yet.
Why not?
We're going to be doing the uncooperative clerk package.
Yeah. Why bother? Did the clerk accept the instrument?
No.
But you tendered payment, did you not?
Yes.
Payment tendered is payment made. Notary issues the same certificate, maybe with slightly different wording, which verifies that the clerk of court is in dishonor on the instrument. What if the clerk of court decided to return it to Mars? Would the notary issue the certificate of non-performance?
Yes.
So what if she returned it to you? What the heck's the matter where she returned it?
It doesn't.
That's right, it doesn't. What if the notary returned a check, a draft, and said, "This needs to be on yellow paper"? I would have sent her a letter. "Thank you for accepting liability." But instead we have a notary send it in the form of a certificate of protest. Now, if it was me, I might take both of those certificates on Monday, have them hand-delivered with a 24-hour response time by courier, and there are plenty of big, ugly people in St. Lawrence County.
Some have teeth.
My apologies. Some have teeth. A majority don't. And I would courier them to the principals with 24 hours to answer a notice of fault, and I would turn this whole process into a commercial claim. I would perfect that claim before the end of the week if it was me. And on Thursday, I would issue a notice of lien sale against the bank and the attorney's law firm. Now, let's have our sales. You have yours, and I'll stand right next to you outside, and I'll have mine. And see if you cannot motivate a negotiation. So there are a number of options that are available to us. The problem is the deadline is short, of course, and the best bet here might be the sheriff's sale. The fact is that the attorney and the clerk are holding the liability, are they not?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I've outlined two methods here, neither of which involves the judiciary. And we're going to discuss one other method when we return after the break. In 3 minutes, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org. Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please. Got no
bread for Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. All right, we're talking with Doug about a short deadline foreclosure situation, and we're trying to come up with some strategies. There's no shortage of strategies, even on short deadline. There are always things that can be done. Dad just mentioned to me something interesting over the break, that he's not real anxious to go to the sale, especially since he lives in another state. But he's not anxious to go to the sale, because if he loses it, he loses the house. Well, not really. Turns out, the house has two tenants in it in separate apartments. Which leads us to the subject of unlawful detainer. Let's say you sell your house, but you have a tenant in there for 20 years and it's 5 years into the lease. Can the party that purchases the house evict the tenant if they're in good standing? Of course not. They're a tenant in peaceful possession. Are you sure you didn't renew the lease with one of those tenants for 10 years?
I think I did.
What about the one upstairs, 99 years and a day?
Yeah.
So there's a backup strategy, unlawful detainer. And for that unlawful detainer situation, we happen to have a package called an unlawful detainer package, which includes a very versatile lease that can be ramped up to 99 years and a day with an optional renewal period, an extended term of 99 years and a day, and the lease can be constructed in a normal circumstance, like you've described, Doug, or it can be constructed to between the actual landlord on the property, the state, through the governor, and any other party, the straw man, the living man, sort of a patriot lease. That lease can be signed, sealed in a registered mail envelope, left unopened, maybe a couple of copies, and taken with you to the unlawful detainer action. Because what happens when they sell the property? The new owner comes and says, I want to take possession. Oh, you didn't know there's a tenant in there? You may want to advertise that there's a tenant in there, and there's all sorts of liability on this property by way of a notice at the sheriff's sale. You hand them out in the parking lot. You talk it up inside. You stick them on the windshields of the cars. Heck, glue them to the windshields face in when they're driving in the parking lot. But you can certainly, it's not the first time this has been done, let it be known that the house is plagued by liability. It's in litigation. And there's a tenant in there for another 7 years. And now, see who appears to bid on the house. I wouldn't be surprised if the only bidder on the house is you and the attorney. That's another strategy. So even though you lose the house, you gain possession. And if you're clever, that lease can be constructed in such a way that the taxes are paid by the government. The rent is paid to the government landlord if it is Uncle Sam, not me, as the landlord, and all kinds of other nifty constructions. Or you can just have a standard, straightforward lease of the type you probably already have. You probably don't have a handshake deal if you're in another state lease. And that lease could be a real detriment if it's a 5-year lease or 10-year lease, unless it's an investor who seeks the property for investment, in which case you have a terrible tenant. But not bad enough to be a tenant not in peaceful possession. So that's another strategy. Another way to go might be to move it into court. And why would I always suggest that moving a case into the public should be the lowest idea on the totem pole?